Instead of trying to bring them into your world, try to help them and bridge the gap between where they are and where they need to be in order to be your ideal customer.
You're listening to Real Marketing Real Fast, the only podcast that brings you unfiltered, undaunted, insider information on the latest tools and technologies for online marketers. Prepare to dive deep into marketing myths, breakthrough models, and cutting-edge strategies that will have an immediate impact on the growth of your business. And now, here's your host, marketing expert Doug Morneau.
Well, welcome back to another episode of Real Marketing Real Fast. Today, we have the privilege and the honor of having Tim Page as a guest today. So looking at Tim's background and the many things he's accomplished, he's known as the smartest person in the world or a webinar superhero. So we'll be putting him to the test and I'm sure he'll be happy to share some nuggets on that. He's hosted over 1,000 webinars, grossing nearly $10 million in revenue directly from those webinars for the companies that work with him. He's also a professional voice actor with clients such as NBC, Jimmy Kimmel Live, Weather Channel, and Comcast, and more. He's a husband to one, a father to two, and beloved by, he says, at least three. I'm sure those clients that he made the $10 million for love him as well. His presentations are often littered with comic book references, and he bleeds a Syracuse orange. So now we know a little bit more about Tim. So, hey, welcome to the podcast today.
Yeah, thanks for having me. That bio is a result of somebody writing a bio that doesn't like writing bios. It's like, those things, I'm always like, okay, I have to talk about myself. I have to make myself sound interesting. I don't know. And by the way, one thing, just so people don't think I'm like some arrogant douche, you mentioned in the beginning, I think I had written that I'm considered a webinar superhero by the smartest people in the world. Not that I think I am the smartest person in the world.
Well, fair enough. I mean, I was looking at your bio before we connected, and then I went to your webinar stats, and I looked and I thought, man, you really downplayed the stuff that you've done. You threw in the $10 million, but in terms of engagement and number of webinars you've done, that's really phenomenal in an age where people are trying to get into that space and make it happen.
Yeah, thanks. I appreciate that. It's been really fun. I have had the opportunity to do some really cool things, work with some great companies, and have, you know, some just incredible mentors along the way who have, I mean, just really taught me so much and helped me, you know, avoid a huge part of the learning curve. I'm a huge believer in mentors and coaches and, you know, piggybacking on the wisdom of others to help you kind of avoid a lot of the stuff that you otherwise would have to fall into.
So then I'm assuming you have a coach as well.
Yeah, I've got several coaches in all different areas of my life and business.
Well, I thought I'd ask before I went to my next comment, which is often when people say, hey, you like to coach you, I said, well, who's your coach? Well, I don't have one. It's like, oh, thanks for phoning. Goodbye.
Yeah, I think that all coaches should have coaches. I mean, you know, if you believe that, you know, coaching is necessary, then hopefully you believe it's an ongoing necessity. I mean, I believe that, you know, I don't think you're ever at the point where you're like, well, I'm done. I don't need to improve anymore. Like, come on.
Well, we won't spend too much time camping here, but it's interesting drawing a parallel between sports and business. Mm. And, you know, everybody in sports, professional sports has a coach. These business guys go, well, I don't need a coach. It's like, well, you know, the best players in the world have coaches. What's wrong with you?
Exactly.
So I want to shift over to marketing and promotion and driving leads and revenue. And you see lots of people talking about webinars and wanting to get into webinars. And you've obviously got a huge amount of experience, kind of like the guru in this space. So can you share with our audience a major breakthrough or success that you've had using this specific tactic, say, for a new business?
Yeah, I mean, sure. So I think for me, one of the biggest things, the biggest breakthrough that I had is that I find a lot of people treating webinars as if it is any other marketing channel. Webinars, just like every marketing channel, webinars are completely unique in what they are. They are long form content that is live, at least when you're hosting the initial live webinar. And all of the webinars that I host are live. I personally don't have anything to do with automated webinars, I don't have anything against them. It's just that's what I do is live webinars. And so, you know, looking at webinars, they are so unique in the fact that they're really long. It's long form content. It's live. People are there with you. And so you're engaging with them in real time and interrupting their lives so that they can be there with you. And the biggest breakthrough that I've had is just that, is just remembering that while you're talking into that headset or that computer or that microphone or whatever, there's a real person on the other end of that, that even if they're not engaging, like even if they're not asking questions or they're not responding when you say, yeah, so tell me right now, what did you think of that or whatever? Even if they're not engaging, there's a good chance that they're sitting there hanging on every word and hoping for you to give them some piece of knowledge or wisdom or a tip or tactic that can change their life. You know, a lot of times I attend webinars as an attendee because there's something that I'm looking to improve. Like I know that something could be a lot better. And many times getting better at that thing could have a profound impact on my life. And so I may be sitting there holding my, my baby who's soon to be 1 year old. Oh my good God. and, you know, simultaneously trying to keep my 4 year old from like smashing his head on the wall as he runs around my office and also like, you know, doing four other things. But it doesn't mean I'm not listening, and it doesn't mean I'm not hoping for something amazing from you. So when I look at it from that perspective, it drives me as a host to really, really do a good job delivering on whatever promise that I made at the beginning of the webinar and to engage on as many levels as I can, asking questions and responding to questions when they come in and, you know, never, you know, doing my best to never fluff and just really give them as much as I can in a way that helps them as much as possible. That's been the big breakthrough for me. And if you can do that, you'll separate yourself from so many webinar hosts, which I hate to say it because I'm kind of a positive guy, but so many people just are terrible at webinars. And if you can do just that one thing, you can really separate yourself from all those people.
Well, I guess that's why you're the awesome guy. I mean, you're right. Often I see it doesn't matter what channel you look at. People take their marketing materials and think that if I've created it once, I can take that same information and I can just distribute it through every channel because people engage the same way on email as they do on social, which simply isn't true.
Yeah. Well, I mean, think about it this way. And this, I'm literally coming up with this off the top of my head, but if you were, you know, running a hospital, you wouldn't treat your, you know, your pediatrics ward the same way you would treat your, I don't know, your emergency, you know, like, I don't know. You don't treat your cancer ward the same as you treat like your, you know, somebody who broke an ankle. And they're very different. And you have to look at things differently. It's the same way in marketing. I mean, you're not going to look at your email marketing and treat an email the same way as you're going to treat, you know, a tweet, as the same way you're going to treat a long form sales video as that you're going to treat a webinar, right? But webinars are really, really, it is so important to look at it as the unique and special channel that it is, that if you don't, it's not only going to create a whole lot of frustration for you, but it's going to create a lot of frustration for your audience. And webinars have the potential to be really expensive for you, the business owner, if done improperly. And if you're spending money to drive traffic and you're using partners to promote them, I mean, there's a lot of opportunity for failure, but you can really hedge your bet when you put the needs of your audience first and like focus on that as the primary thing. Sales are, like the next thing, right? I mean, no question. If we're doing a webinar, we want to sell stuff. But right before that, right? More importantly than that, it's that your audience leaves that webinar having had their lives improved in some way.
Absolutely. I mean, I take on a lot of webinars, you're right. And there's some really great ones and there's some that are not so good. And even the ones that are not so good, I can usually find something as a takeaway. So at the end, I may not buy the product, take the offer, or do business with them, but there's usually something there. So you're right. I find a lot of educational value, and many of these people we've done business with for years now.
Yeah. And that's exactly the other thing is even if look at it this way. This goes into any channel in marketing, but even if somebody doesn't buy from you on that webinar, or even if they never buy anything from you, they don't work with you, whatever, but they attend a webinar and you delivered a heck of a lot of value and you were really good and, you know, they took something away from it and they were like, well, I'm not, you know, they're not your ideal customer or whatever. Later on down the road, who's to say that your ideal customer, who happens to be that person's brother or best friend or whatever, is like, hey, I'm looking for this thing, XYZ. Yeah. And I'm looking at option X, option Y, and option Z, which is you. You know, that person attended that webinar was like, oh yeah, I attended a webinar. They were really good. They really seemed to know their stuff and the product was really cool. That, you know, that matters. That matters 100%. And, you know, I look at it from I don't want to say moral perspective because it's not really a moral, but for me, it's more of like, if I want to, I want to be doing work that is good, not bad. Like I want to be doing work that's sure. not just about, yeah. you know, putting money in my bank account. But even if you take that part away and you go like, well, I don't care if I can sleep at night if I kick a puppy every day. Like even if you take that away, yeah. You know, still from a business perspective, it matters what people think about you and what people are saying about you. And you can have a profound impact on that when you care about them more than you care about, you know, bringing in some money on a webinar.
Absolutely. So what do you think is the biggest myth about webinars and producing them?
The biggest myth about producing them or hosting them or whatever, I would say it's that anybody or that everybody should do one, which is might sound funny coming from a guy who like loves webinars this much. But I don't think that everybody should do them. It's the same reason I don't think everybody should have a podcast. It's the same reason I don't think everyone should do a YouTube channel, right? Those are all great things. But if it's not something that, first off, that you enjoy doing or could eventually enjoy doing, if it's not something that's really in your wheelhouse, again, it can serve to really hurt you and your business and become a source of frustration. Like you don't have to do webinars. Just because they're awesome doesn't mean you have to do them.
Right.
Right. Just with anything else in business. Like, look, another example, you don't have to do cold calling. And hey, cold calling can be a huge source of revenue for your business. I did cold calling for years, many, 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 many years ago, and I made a lot of money doing it, but I hated it and I don't ever want to do it again. So just because it can be a good thing for your business doesn't mean you have to do it. And you can hire somebody to do it. There aren't a lot of people that are good at doing them that aren't just doing them for themselves, but they're out there. And so, yeah, that would be the biggest misconception is that like you have to do them. You don't have to do them.
Yeah, no, fair enough. And you're right. I mean, I always look from the first perspective to look at is where's my audience?
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, with the media that we use is dictated by where's the audience I want to reach.
Yeah. The caveat to that, though, is that just because your audience right now isn't watching webinars or like, you know, doesn't even maybe know what a webinar is, doesn't mean that you shouldn't go there. Like if that's something you think you'd be good at and, you know, you could do it, I think there's a huge opportunity there. I'll give a great example. Real estate agents in general, unless they're in big cities, and even there, it's infrequent, aren't doing a lot of webinars. And I could see, literally off the top of my head, I could think of 10 different things that a real estate agent could use a webinar for. I mean, just as an example, you know, you could do a webinar that where you bring in the world's top staging expert, or even just a staging expert, or even a local staging person, and do a webinar on how to best stage your house to sell it for more money. And, you know, promote it on Facebook in a targeted area in your local region. And then all of a sudden, all these people are like, wow, all the people that are on that webinar are either selling their house or are looking to sell their house or are other real estate agents. And that's fine. But, and yeah. That's okay. Whatever. If you own a store, your competitors are going to come in, right? So you do that. And then all of a sudden, all those people are qualified leads, or a lot of them are qualified leads. And then you have the opportunity to connect yourself with them. And then later down the road, when they're ready to sell their house, they think of you, or you obviously have their information. So you can then start marketing to them and stay in touch with them, or you can retarget them on Facebook. I mean, there's just so much potential there. And there, I mean, I'm telling you, there's nobody in my local area that's doing that. Granted, I live in a small town, but there's still nobody that's doing that. And when I lived in a city of 330,000 people, which is still relatively small, nobody was doing it. I literally never once saw a webinar about real estate, and I'm very interested and active in that stuff. So my point being,
that's really cool. You're right. I've never seen it either. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So yeah, I think you're right. It's not just because nobody's done it before doesn't mean you shouldn't do it.
Yeah. Love it.
So in terms of people getting started, you know, you mentioned unique content. So would you suggest is a mind shift that a business owner or the marketing department would have to have before they would launch into say, hey, I heard this guy, he's an expert on webinars, said we should do webinars. So how do they need to change their thinking around their current marketing strategy at a high level? I realize we've only got a few minutes, but what advice would you give someone?
I would say it's to think more like a teacher than like a marketer. Webinars are very teaching oriented. And I think a lot of the times when we're marketers, we tell these long stories. And I think those are good. Like long stories are good. No question about it. And a webinar is in a way a long story. But one of the problems is when you do a webinar that is kind of a chunk of information, like it's just a 45 minute or hour long chunk of information with like an intro, chunk of information, pitch. it's really, really hard for people to take something away from that. So I actually, all of my webinars except one are step one, step two, step three, whatever. They're all broken down into steps. And each step could be something that if somebody only saw that one thing, that would have a profound impact for them. So that's how I tend to build my webinar. So it's important, I think, to shift your thinking into how would I teach a lesson if I was in front of a room of college students that were studying this topic that I talk about. How could I teach a lesson that would give them huge, like if they, what they say in the fitness space, gains, right? Like huge gains in their knowledge of whatever I'm teaching. As opposed to how can I tell a story that maybe, I guess that's really focused on bringing them into my world. Instead of trying to bring them into your world, try to help them and bridge the gap between where they are and where they need to be in order to be your ideal customer.
Yeah, that's funny. I mean, the reference I often use over and over again is date before you try to get married.
Yeah. Yeah. That's exactly right. And you can, while you're dating, be laying the foundation for marriage, right? And I mean, you probably should, right?
Yes.
Yeah. If that's the direction you're looking to go. And that's, so I'll give a little sales pointer. I thoroughly believe that the sales pitch of your webinar is very low on the rating of things that are important in your webinar. I found, in fact, my sales pitch is as bare bones as it gets. You'll see a lot of people where they spend 15 minutes going from content to sales pitch. It's 15 minutes of setup where they're like, you can go down two paths and path one. And then they spend 5 minutes talking about how bad it is right now. And then path two is like this golden shining. And that's fine. It works. I'm not going to lie and say that stuff doesn't work. It does work. But for me, it's never been my favorite thing. It feels infomercially, right?
Right.
And so what I've found is that when you remove all that nonsense and when you within your content, with whatever you're teaching, when you within your content bake in opportunities for you to say, and by the way, what I just taught you, you can absolutely do on your own. However, my software or my training program can help you do that even more easily because we hold your hand or whatever, right? You build in those opportunities organically. It's not some like, you know, shoehorned in thing. That allows you to at the end go, hey, so at this point, look, you know everything you need to know about my product. Let me tell you how you can get it. And then you offer them some bonuses and you link them up to wherever they're going to go to buy it. That is so much in my entirely biased opinion. That is so, such a better experience than when you're in a webinar and all of a sudden you're like, wait, now I think we've just moved into the part where he's going to sell me something.
Yeah. We shifted gears. Yeah.
Yeah. It's so much better when you do it that way. In my opinion, some people like it the other way and that's fine, but that's just what I found works really well. And again, what I find is that a lot of people will be like, God, I just love how transparent that was. I loved how you told me in the beginning that you had something for sale and that you were going to tell me all about it. And you definitely wanted me to buy it, but also that you would help me even if I didn't. Like people love that so much more. They want that honesty and transparency. They want to be treated like a person, not like a customer.
Yeah. And I mean, and looking at your stats, I mean, 32% conversion rate and $10 million in sales tells me that your approach, even if people want to be more salesy, your approach still brings in some money.
For sure. It works and it works for me. And there are other people out there and I guess, you know, I won't name names because I'm going to compliment them, but there are other people out there that are doing the entire polar opposite. And it's like, you know, 15 minutes of an introduction and telling their story. And then there's some good content in there. And then there's a really long transition. And then there's the pitch, which is like stack bonuses and all that. And they're selling like crazy. Yeah. And that's awesome for them. And in fact, I know a lot of people that are doing this that are great people that do really care about their customers. And they love their product so much that they'll do anything to sell it. And that's great. I have no problem with that. It's just, my method is different and mine is based on what I want to see as a viewer. That's all.
So some of the feedback I get or some of the pushback I get, people are, well, if I tell them everything that I do, then they don't need to hire me. And I totally agree with you, the teacher versus marketer, that you need to build some trust and some credibility with people and you should give before you ask. So what's your experience been when you're talking to the clients and they're saying, well, I'm going to give away all that information for free for 40 minutes?
Sure. I totally understand that. It's a, you know, a logical fear. Here's the thing though. If you can tell somebody all that you know in 1 hour, I'm not sure that you are right to be doing what you do. And fair I don't enough. Mean that to be harsh, but like, I mean, think about it. You're not going to fit everything. You have probably spent years and years or maybe decades becoming amazing at what you do. And you know, you can't distill all that into 60 minutes. And beyond that, the webinar isn't about teaching all of your expertise. The webinar is about helping somebody with one really specific problem that they're having. Can I give an example?
Will that be right? Yeah, go ahead.
All right. I've got a friend, Fraser Bailey. He is a vegan fitness expert, and he helps people get in great shape, whatever that means to them. Now, he's a professional bodybuilder. He looks like Batman's suit. He's just a jacked vegan guy. And you're like, oh, he like, you know, goes to farms and pets, you know, sheep and stuff, but he's this big jacked dude. Anyway, so one of the things that he struggled with was he wanted to teach people how to become really healthy and fit and get in great shape and blah, 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 blah on a webinar, which is, you know, great. However, it's such a big thing and you're trying to cram that all into 60 minutes. So what he started doing was specializing, and each webinar would solve one specific problem. In this case, it would be like, he would do a webinar that was like, how to build muscle on a vegan diet. And then in parentheses, it would be like, don't worry, you get plenty of protein or something, where it's like a really specific problem. If he said, you know, come check out my live webinar where I'll tell you how to get healthy. It's like,
it's a pretty broad topic.
That's a broad topic. Yeah. And it's not believable. You don't think you could do that in 60 minutes. And if you could do it in 60 minutes, it would be eat a whole food, plant-based diet, like work out regularly, get enough sleep. Like, you know, it wouldn't be really valuable. Plus, it's not urgent, right? Nope. Like, yes, getting healthy is important, but I probably don't go through the day going, I should get healthy. You know, and if I do, again, it's like, I'm not looking for specific things. Whereas if I'm thinking, man, okay, in 2 weeks, I'm going on vacation and I want to look good on the beach with my shirt off. That's an urgent, specific problem that I'm feeling right now that I want help with right now. And so if you did a webinar that was like how to lose 7 pounds in 10 days, that's urgent. That's specific. I will attend that webinar. So that eliminates the feeling of, well, why would you hire me? Because, you know, whatever. But clearly I can give you some stuff to do. But if you really want to get serious and really lose the weight in 2 weeks, go through my program where I give you daily exercise and the meal plans and all that stuff. So it's a piece of the pie that's really valuable, but the real hand holding and making it easier, that's where your product comes in.
Yeah. And I think that's a super valuable point. I mean, you can't educate that, you know, sell people or convince them or educate them on your whole life's experience in 30, 40, 50 minutes.
Yeah, exactly right. And again, there's more to it than just knowledge, right? I mean, we want to educate them. We want to give them that knowledge, but there's something about rolling with the punches and dealing with the things that happen. And, you know, again, like with fitness, I could literally give you a meal plan for every single day of the week and a fitness plan. And like, I could tell you what foods to eat and what not to eat and how long to sleep. I could literally lay it out for you exactly. But then when 3 o'clock hits and you get that craving for Oreos,
yeah,
having all the knowledge in the world won't stop you from desperately wanting Oreos, right? And that's right. Where working with that fitness coach where you can send a text and be like, hey, I really want some friggin' Oreos right now. That's where that makes it valuable and how to roll with the punches of doing that and getting that experience, right? So again, I think a lot of it comes down to, we think that our knowledge is just some finite thing that when we put it down and we give it to somebody, they're done with us. But like, experts write a book and then people still hire them to go help turn their company around or whatever the thing is. So your knowledge isn't finite, and there's so much more value to what you do than just when you tell people stuff you know.
Well, and it's like you mentioned there about people writing a book and then hiring you. I mean, it's the buying process. I was looking for a publisher. I'm just about to publish a book on email marketing. My experience has been renting third-party lists at a very high level. Like, our clients spend $200,000-$300,000 a week. And so we got very good at partnering with big companies that would send our message out. And so I went and I attended a webinar, like you said, and I bought the online course, which was, I don't know, $700 or $800. I went through the course. I thought, yeah, this guy's really smart and that he's laid it out really clear. So I understand now I'm going to hire him to do it because I don't want to do it.
Yes.
So it was just a qualifying process to say, is this the guy I want to spend money with as a publisher?
That's exactly it. It's so funny because, you know, obviously we work together in my voiceover business, and it's so funny because I used to tell people, I had this thing where I gave people my list of equipment at the time, like all the gear I used, so they could literally buy all the gear I used. And I did a video that showed them exactly my process for editing. So they could buy my gear. They could follow my process for editing. Oh, and I had a script writing guide as well. So like how to write the intro and outro. Everything was laid out, my whole process. You could just take it and do that. And yet, so many people that would go through that would then hire me because they'd go, okay, he's got like $8,000 worth of gear. And I tried to do it myself, but I couldn't make the gear sound good and my voice, and like I couldn't do the, like certain things. And then I try to edit it together, but there's some things that are, you know, just don't make sense to me. Forget it. Right. And so part of it is you give people the knowledge, they go try to do it themselves, and they could if they really applied themselves, but they find they'd rather spend their time doing the stuff that they care about and just hire you to do it.
Yeah. And that's, you know, you do what you do well and hire out the rest.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah. People say, well, why don't you just tell me all the stuff you do for emails? Like, well, we have one tool that we use that allows us to kind of spy on all competitors' emails. Well, I want to get that. Okay. Well, it's $30,000 US a year for a license. Exactly. You could retain me and I could look for you, or you could go buy the license and learn how to use the software. Fill your boots.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly right. Exactly right. I'm a huge fan of hiring the best of the best and paying the money for the best of the best rather than trying to develop entirely a new skill set and use all these new things. I mean, that's why, you know, you talk to Liam or Brittany, like that's what they do on my team. Liam and Brittany, they write the scripts, they find the music, and they're better at that than I am. I'm really great at the voiceover and the audio production. They're better at those other things. And so I let them do that. And, you know, I have specific people that I hire for a certain thing. I have a design person that I use. I build great slide decks, but I can't design them. So I have a designer that does that. And it just, you know, I would rather have the best of the best specialists doing things that they do best to help make everything I'm doing and just elevate it so I can focus on the stuff I'm really good at.
Well, it's funny because a lot of people just don't want to invest in their business. When I was starting the podcast and I hired you guys to do the intro and outro, people said, why don't you do it yourself? I said, well, I've never done it before. So why do I want to learn how to do it? I'm just interested in marketing it and finding the right guests and making sure the marketing side, so it's good for everybody, the listeners. And when I go back to these online groups, we won't mention them, but the conversation, a lot of them is around, well, you use Zencastr, don't you have to pay for that? It's like, yes, yeah, like 10 bucks a month, right? Well, we use Zoom, it's free. It's like, yeah, I know, I've heard your podcast, it sucks. I mean, podcasting's all about audio, so why don't you invest the money and get a decent tool to record the audio?
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's totally true. It's the same thing. Same thing happens in voiceover a lot. You know, I help a lot of people, not, you know, it's not like a business I do. It's just people ask for my guidance and I'll help them. And, you know, they're like, well, what mic should I get? It's like 50 bucks. And I'm like, don't. You know, for a podcast, you can get a great podcasting mic, right? A great broadcast mic for like 50 bucks. No problem. Sure. Webinars. Yeah. My favorite headset, the one I use on all my webinars, I think is $35. I don't know. But for voiceover, it's so competitive and, you know, this is literally your product and you want to use, you know, a USB mic that, you know, it's just no. It's like, yeah, a few hundred dollars, you can get in there and get something going. But then they're like, but I got to spend all the money. Okay, fine. You know, it's not for you then. It's voiceover is amazing because it's a business you can get into with so little overhead. You don't have to have an office. You don't have to have anything. You just need a decent mic and a closet with clothes in it and you know, a laptop and you can get started. Granted, you eventually go to something else, but it's the same thing with podcasting. You don't need all that much. You do have to spend a little though. If you were going to go open a pizza shop, you'd need to buy a whole bunch of stuff. So you want to get into business, you want to do something that grows your business, but you don't want to invest in it. I'm sorry, it doesn't work like that.
Absolutely. Yeah. So what are you excited about the next 6 to 12 months in the marketing space? I mean, you've got such a great background. You've had so much history online.
Thank you. Yeah, I'm really excited about, in terms of like the things that I'm doing, I'm really excited about a couple of new webinars that are rolling out. I've got one client who I've just been a fan of for so long, Edgar. Really amazing tool. And you know, we started working together and I'm really excited to roll it out. Webinar Ninja has recently released the new version of their platform and it had a couple bugs when it first got started, but those are getting worked out now and it is just, oh, it's an amazing platform. And so there's a lot of webinars that are rolling out that I'm really thrilled about. A couple others that I won't talk about because they haven't started being marketed yet, but I'm really excited about that. And then the other thing is, it's really funny because I don't have an engineering brain, but I'm getting really excited about cryptocurrencies. And this is just in general, in the world in general, what a fascinating time. You know, I'm going to be investing, but more just from a technology standpoint, this is going to change things. Like, I believe this is going to change things almost as much as the internet did. And so what a fascinating time. And if I could find a way to be, if I could find a way to be involved in that, I'm definitely going to.
Yeah. I have a client in that space and it's pretty interesting.
it's so confusing, but it's so interesting. And every engineer I know, every person that understands, like deeply understands deep technology is saying that this is like, you know, just below the internet in terms of changing the game. And so I'm excited just to see where that goes. Even if I have no involvement, just to watch. This is one of those times where I feel like we have the opportunity to be like, holy crap, remember when the internet became a thing? Like now, you know, blockchain is going to change things just dramatically. And it may even be a thing where most people never even can tell, but it will have such a profound impact.
Well, and just think about what the world's going to look like when you have, when your kids are a little older, mine are older and out of the house.
Yeah. It's going to be crazy.
And we tell them, there wasn't Starbucks. Well, where did you meet your friends? And there wasn't Subway. Well, where did you eat your lunch? So just simple things. And no, there was no internet and there was no Facebook. So
yeah. What did you, like when, you know, when I was a kid and we went outside and played like all day for hours and just, you know, went in the woods and then came back in time for dinner and went back out in the woods. Like those things that so many people don't do anymore because they're on Facebook. And that's not a social commentary. It's just a fact that things are so different. Yeah. Seeing what that's going to look like in the future. That is fascinating.
Hey, that's the new business.
Mm-hmm,
right.
Mm-hmm.
Eco play adventures for the kids. Get them outside where they can actually break something or skin a knee or, you know, bang a finger.
Amazing.
So who's one guest that you think I should invite on my show?
There are so many. Maybe Ezra Firestone. He'd be a great one. I don't know if you know Ezra.
He owns
Smart Marketer and Zipify. Brilliant, brilliant marketer. Fantastic human being. Just one of those people that, you know, first time I ever talked to him, he was like, hey, man, yeah, you should come to my house sometime. Like just that kind of cool.
That's cool.
Just great human being. And his businesses have done 26 million a year this last year. And it's going to be higher this year. Just amazing.
Wow. Even after tax, there's probably some left over.
Probably true. Yeah.
So where's the best way for people to track you down and get a hold of you?
Yeah, I mean, a couple ways. If you're just interested in seeing what I'm doing in the webinar world, I don't post much, but you can go to timpagewebinars.com. If you have a podcast or you want to start one, my company does. We write the scripts. We find the music. We did this show. So if you enjoy our work there, you can go to makemyintro.com. There's also some great education there that you can check out. And then finally, if you are, especially if you work at a TV station and you need some new promos or, you know, just need commercial stuff or whatever, the voice of Tim Page. .com and it's PAIGE.com.
Excellent. Well, I appreciate your time. Thanks so much for sharing with our audience. You've got such a wealth of experience, and with that experience comes lots of results. The advice I give people is never to ask anyone for advice who hasn't done what you're going to do or is willing to pay the price you're going to pay. So you've clearly done that in spades. So listeners, check back for our show notes. We will transcribe the notes and then all of the websites and contact information that Tim shared on the podcast will be available with links there so you can follow up. And yes, he did produce my intro and outro, and the music was my choice. The process was a very simple process, and I'm a AC/DC rocking kind of guy, so that wasn't their choice. That was my choice. So I hope you enjoyed the show, and thanks so much, Tim, for taking time on this Friday afternoon.
Yeah, Doug, thank you.
That's all for this episode of Real Marketing Real Fast. Now it's time to take your marketing to the next level by visiting DougMorneau.com and downloading our advanced marketing white papers, as well as exclusive resources based on today's episode. That's DougMorneau.com. Until next time, we look forward to serving you right here on Real Marketing Real Fast.